Thank you, Don. This is Gijs Minderhout calling from Magalia, California, into this radio show for tonight. This is usually a simulcast with a conference call. Today it is Monday, 10-10, October the 10th, 2016. Thank you for participating with this call, with this show. Tonight is the Monday call, and then Wynn has a random topic, so just check that there was... Oh, there it is, yeah. So the topic for tonight is ET's New World Order and Hillary.
Wow.
All right. Let's see what he has to say tonight. We had another person join in. Welcome to the call. If you want to, please say the name and location.
Good evening, Heinz. It's Cleo from Connecticut.
Hello, Cleo. Well, welcome to the call. Good evening to you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Let's see, we are still 2 minutes away from the hour, and the announcement email is present, so we will have people come in here. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie in Corona, California.
Welcome, Bonnie. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very good, guys. Glad to be here.
All right. Good to have you. So far we have one person from Concord, one from Connecticut, and one from Corona. CCC. COCOCO.
That's very good.
Concord. All right. And the helicopter is up there. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Lori from Portland.
Hello. Welcome to the call. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm excited to hear tonight's talk.
Great, great. Hey, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the next call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Sir John. Welcome. How are you?
Nice.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Joni, St. Louis.
Hello, Joni. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hey, it's Wynn.
Wynn, my friend, how are you doing?
All right.
Good to hear that.
Did you see the topic tonight?
It's I just said it here on the call.
You did. Uh-oh. Don't say it. People will hang up on you.
Oh, no hang-ups yet.
Yeah, I just looked at the topic, yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a little mind-blowing, okay?
All right. Welcome to the next.
Hold on to your seats.
All right. I welcome those who just came on board. Thank you for being here. If you want to, please say your name and location. But only if you want to.
This is Jeannie in Citrus Heights, California.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome back. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Jeannie, are you somewhat new to our calls?
No.
Not really, since about 2012.
Oh, that's a long time. Okay.
All right. More people tuned in. So I'll turn the things off. Let's see. Yeah, 6:01. I'm going to turn the things off.
Is Terry here? Hello, Terry. Earth to Terry.
Hi.
Hello,
here.
Terry.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Adele bought you some flowers.
You're kidding. Adele bought you some flowers?
Yeah, and she said, Terry is such an angel.
Oh, that brings tears to my eyes.
Oh,
That's amazing. Clark, I love flowers.
Well, I told her, you know, I mean, that's just how you look outwardly. Little people get to know you. All right. Okay. So here we go. We got a really controversial call tonight. Don't hang up, even if you like Hillary, okay? You'll want to hear this. Who's that, John?
That was Chris.
Chris. Yeah, Chris. Chris, you're sounding like John. John, are you there tonight?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, I'm going to mute the lines because I can't wait what you have to say when.
All callers are unmuted.
Oops, wrong one.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Hi from BBS. Thank you all to those who are listening in through BBS. I'm going to start our recording and there we go. It is 10:10 today.
This conference is being recorded.
Hi, this is Winfrey. This is October 10th, 2016. Wynn and Terry in Arizona, although in different cities today. And, you know, I was thinking, what should I talk about tonight? And, of course, Monday nights are sometimes like a walk on the wild side. We experiment. We started out doing our How the Elohim Created the Universe. And a lot of times I talk about things that I am currently researching or figuring out. And, you know, at different times I've talked about Hillary. And people think I'm making a political kind of statement.
Ben, will you please move your microphone a little bit away?
Like that there? Okay.
Yeah.
And, but this is one of the most important elections in history. And one article that I read described it like it's a competition between a criminal and a crazy man. And I think there's truth in that. Yes, I am, you know, anyone who does the search on the internet, anyone will find that Hillary and Bill have done so many. I hope Morgan's not here. Morgan, I'm sorry. You probably looked at it and didn't show up. But anyone who does a search on Hillary and Bill extensively are going to find out so many things that are incredible. And it can't just be internet hearsay. There's too much substantiation to it. And anyone who does a search on Donald Trump is going to find out that he is an oaf. Oaf, if I'm saying it correctly. He sticks his foot in his mouth. He's got foot and mouth disease. He can appear very insensitive, as all of you who probably have seen the most latest video that came out about him and his locker room talk. And I certainly think that on a certain level, this part of him is like that, that probably abuses power, that pushes people around. He's used to people doing what he says. Some people think that if he gets elected, he's going to be a tyrant. And you know what? That is a possibility. It is, because he has a very demanding personality. So it's very hard for me to say endorse Trump over Hillary, except for one factor which very few people know, and you're going to understand by the end of this call. And it's okay if you still vote for Hillary. And this is bigger than just Hillary. It's about the elite. It's about the secret societies. And it's something that I have been paying attention to in the background, because I feel it's a huge responsibility to share this stuff. And if anyone wants to come up with an opposing point of view and they think I'm wrong, please tell me and I'll give you some airtime. But I don't think I'm wrong on this, okay? And it started out, this bit of awareness started out when I first started studying the raw material. And, you know, there is lots of talk. It's becoming more and more into the public consciousness these days that there really is an Illuminati. There really is an agenda for a new world order. We've probably had 4 or 5 or 6 presidents actually use that particular language, new world order. And in the new world order, there's the idea that the whole world should operate under one government, and that that it would be much easier to share resources and trade between countries. And if you look at what's going on in the world, we have the European Union, we have all kinds of new trade agreements. There's the letting go of borders. And, you know, theoretically, I really like that idea, because I believe if that was done in a, how can I say it, compassionate way, it could lead to a better world. If it was done with management that was actually attempting to make the world a better place and really cared about humans, it would be nice to have a one-world government that was managing that. The problem is there's something behind all this that very few people know about. And my first awareness of this idea came from the raw material. And I looked up the section of the raw material that clued me into it, the idea of it. And what came out was that these attempts at creating one world government had secret societies behind it. And they have been working for many years to do that. And it includes the richest, most powerful people on the planet that are part of those societies. And they're not getting so secret, because everybody now knows the word Illuminati. And in the not too near future, I would imagine that we're going to hear more about it. We're going to hear people publicly saying this is a good thing. And in my research on this, there's a huge agenda behind these secret societies, and that there are ETs that want possession of our planet, that are controlling them. And in many cases, maybe all cases, they're not sure about the ETs, and they think the ETs are good and helping them. And what inspired me to do this talk today was something I found. Let me just make sure we are recording, are we not, Pius? I didn't check. Yeah, okay. You know what WikiLeaks is? WikiLeaks is a guy who is named Julian Assange. It's getting a lot of attention these days. You can look it up, WikiLeaks.com. And he started an organization some 10 or 12 years ago where people could send him government documents that were normally not available to the public, and he would put them up for people to see. So he's disclosing many things. And one of the things that he has is that he has Hillary's emails that she deleted. Now, we don't know how he got them. Some people think he got them from Russia. But it doesn't matter. He has them. And there's at least 30,000 of them. And so they're going through these emails to see what is important to take out of them and disclose, to put out on WikiLeaks. So he says if he puts certain things out, it's going to destroy Hillary's chances of being elected. But I don't know if that's true or not, but a lot of people are waiting with bated breath as to what he's going to release. And if you go look at his website, or if you look it up, you'll see every time he releases something, there's a lot of attention, okay? So there was something that came out. In what is sure to raise some eyebrows, two emails found in WikiLeaks' latest email leak of John Podesta, who I don't know who he is, allegedly shows that former NASA astronaut Edgar Mitchell emailed Mr. Podesta with intent to set up a meeting where the two would discuss formal extraterrestrial disclosure and zero-point energy, are more commonly known as free energy. In the first email, Mitchell wrote to Podesta, "It is urgent that we agree on a date and time to meet to discuss disclosure and zero-point energy." Mitchell then went on to mention the Vatican's awareness of extraterrestrial intelligence. "My Catholic colleague, Terry Mansfield, will be there too, to bring us up to date on the Vatican's awareness of ETs." In the second email, the former NASA astronaut wrote to Podesta, "Remember, our nonviolent ETs from the contiguous universe are helping to bring us zero-point energy to Earth. They will not tolerate any forms of military violence on Earth or in space." At this point, no emails have been discovered yet in the latest batch leak that showed Podesta responding to Mitchell's email. However, WikiLeaks has made it clear they've only published 1% of the Podesta files, with the rest coming throughout the election period. Could the responses or even more detailed emails about ET UFO disclosure be forthcoming? We will soon find out. For those skeptical of the presence of extraterrestrials or the existence of free energy systems, consider the following two quotes from Dr. Brian O'Leary, PhD scientist, author, Princeton professor, and former NASA astronaut. Quote, "If the new energy technologies were to be set free worldwide, the change would be profound. It would affect everybody. It would be applicable everywhere. These technologies are absolutely the most important thing that has happened in the history of the world," okay? Here we have elite people discussing ETs and disclosure, and they believe they're very positive, okay? Now, let's go to the raw material and hear what the raw group said through Carla Rucker. Question, what was their purpose in doing this? Ra, the purpose of the Orion group, as mentioned before, is conquest and enslavement. This is done by finding and establishing an elite and causing others to serve the elite through various devices, such as the laws you mentioned and others given by this entity. Questionnaire. Then the Orion Group, do you mean the Orion Group produced this larger body complex to create an elite so that the law of one could be applied in what we call the negative source? Ra, that is incorrect. The entities of Yahweh were responsible for this creature in isolated cases as experiments in combating the Orion Group. However, the Orion Group were able to use this distortion of mind-body complex to inculcate the thoughts of the elite rather than concentrations about the learning teaching of oneness. I'll just ask about Orion. You mentioned Orion as a source of some of the contacts of UFOs. Can you tell me something of that contact, its purpose? Ra. Question. Then we have crusaders from Orion coming to this planet for mind control purposes. How do they do this? As all, they follow the law of one, observing free will. Contact is made with those who call. Those then upon the planetary sphere act much as you do to disseminate the attitudes and philosophy of their particular understanding of the law of one, which is service to self. These become the elite. Through these, the attempt begins to create a condition whereby the remainder of the planetary entities are enslaved by their own free will. Okay, now, the question is, we just heard these guys talking about ETs, talking about ET disclosure and zero point energy. Who are these ETs? Are these ETs that want to help us? Are these ETs the Orion Group or connected to the Orion Group? Well, they're talking to the elite, and so in my conversations with Carla Rucker, because we've talked about this a number of times, she said positively disposed groups would not come here and connect because it would violate the law, the distortion of free will, because people are so wanting to give up their power that they would give up their power to any ET groups that were positive. And if they were positive, and truly positive, they would understand that they would have to create a circumstance where people are empowered. The goal of positive intelligence at the highest level is to empower you. If you track these calls, I hope, even though people do get addicted, they keep coming back. And I don't blame them. If I discover this, I keep coming back. The intent and nature of the call does not disempower you. There's nothing here to follow. There's nothing here to surrender to. There's no control mechanisms. I hope. I don't think so. Not from me. I hope to my best not to do that. And Terry doesn't do it. And our sources don't do it. Even when you ask questions, if you watch the answers, there's no control mechanisms. So, you know, you have to decide what can you trust. Now, there's one other reference here that I want to go to about all of this stuff, and it's Voyagers. And I've referenced this book before. It's by Ashayana Dean. Now, who's making that noise in the background? Let's see here. Oh, there we go. Okay, it's by Ashayana Dean. And the history of my connection with this book goes back to 2002, when I was first with Daphne, and we were in a metaphysical bookstore in Encinitas, and this was in the first 6 months that she was bringing messages in, and it was very much kind of like, for me, as I talked about last week, what's going on here? And I'm not sure I trust it. I'm not sure what I make of it. And we're in a metaphysical bookstore, and she takes this book off the shelf. She tells me, they want you to read this. So, of course, I bought it. And that's this Voyager's book. And I started reading it, and it was so far out, I couldn't understand it. And the parts I did understand, I just had to keep saying, can this be real? Because it was going through a very deep explanation of all the different interdimensional beings and ETs that were affecting Earth. And it went back to a history of Earth, the DNA development over hundreds of thousands of years. And I'm reading it, and I'm saying, my head was spinning. And I said, well, there's something there. Then I had to go back and read it again. And then I came on to this one section where she talks about the Ra Confederacy. And it triggered me that I was evaluating this idea of the Ra group being connected to Jesus. And there was just the one little excerpt from a Wilcock channeling in The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where they said, we came to you in our religion, namely Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms anymore. And in Voyagers, there was this little section where she talked about the Ra Confederacy, and the Ra Confederacy was responsible. Now, I'm saying this is true. I'm just telling you this was what I discovered. The Ra Confederacy was responsible for releasing the Templar seals and allowing a human to graduate this realm. And then she said that sometimes people thought of that as Judgment Day, but it really wasn't. It was just a check and balance to keep negative forces out of the higher realms. And, of course, here I am contemplating whether the Ra group is connected to Jesus. And it sounds like the Ra group was doing, you know, if Jesus was responsible for sharing the idea of graduating this realm, ascending this realm, the Ra group was playing a part in that. And that it was supporting the idea that maybe the Ra group was who Jesus said was Father, which over time I did eventually adopt that and said, I think that's true. And then eventually I asked a direct connection to our sources, to Daphne, who didn't know about all of this stuff. I didn't tell her. And I said, when Jesus said, Father, who was answering that call? And the answer was, as you would know it, it was the Ra group. And so all the pieces seem to be fitting. And we have all these ETs that are connected to the elite. And so when we hear things about ETs saving us, when we hear things about disclosure, question is this positive? So I've had this book in my background, but I picked it up a couple of weeks. And I do it every so often. And most of you probably won't understand it, because I hardly understand it. And I don't mean to say that in a patronizing or condescending way. It is just so amazingly complex that even I have to read it over and over again. And I come from a technical background. I mean, I'll just give you an example here. I'll just take something. You'll see what it sounds like. If Emerald Covenant nations successfully create a detailed planetary Maharic seal during the SAC, Earth's environment will also progressively heal, clear, and neutralize the damaging effects of these techniques. The technologies themselves will be steadily evolved to a more advanced ethical order of sacred physical applications. In greater terms, the advancement of our fallen angelic intruder, ET-inspired human technology, was intended not only as a control mechanism for human populations. Our deceitful stellar neighbors have bigger plans in mind. Contemporary global technology, such as HARP Project, Montauk Facility, and EM Sonic Scalar Pulse Technologies, were given to us so we would already have hardcore technology installations built on the planet. These technologies all have the capacity to be linked together through the Niborian Crystal Temple Network and interdimensional spacecraft to create a massively powerful photosonic pulse generation and transmission system. Conveniently, this is the precise system that the fallen angelic intruder ET races need to forcibly blow through the cloaking shields, photosonic, to protect the portals connecting surface Earth and the inner Earth time cycle, where the halls of Amenti Stargate's control temples are located. Okay, you see, I mean, there's something there, but you got to get all the antecedents. You got to figure out, well, who are these guys and who is that? What does this mean? What does that mean? But can we trust David Wilcock, who is talking about all of this stuff? And people ask me all the time, did you hear David and Corey Good? Now, I have avoided paying attention to David because at a certain point, I decided I couldn't trust what he did. He turned away from bringing through the Ra group and started bringing through ET stuff. And he was making too many mistakes. And he would never apologize for his mistakes. He would just move on. It's like Hillary and Donald Trump. They both just move on. They both have got huge baggage, but they put themselves out the best they can without referring to their baggage. And David would be making predictions that we're going to be ascending in the year 2000, or we're going to be arresting all of the elite and whatever. And when I was originally studying David, I had read everything that he put out. And he had written this one PDF file. I think it was called Wanderer Awakening. And in that booklet, he was, I don't usually talk about this, but it's relevant to what I'm talking about. He drew a picture of a very simple picture of himself on an examination table which looked like grays hanging over him, and he thought it was a positive experience. He thought that ETs were connecting with him and there was a positive reason for that connection. And up to the point that I looked at that, I was, in my research, the grays were not considered positive. And there were groups that wanted to take over the Earth, and the grays were one of them, and that they were abducting people, and they were creating hybrids, and I wasn't sure that was true. It was my first beginning understanding of all of this stuff, but it was a little disconcerting to read about the grays and being abducted and thinking it was a positive experience. But I just let it sit there, see where it went. So at this point now, I just don't trust this stuff with Corey Good and David Wilcock. David has talked about some kind of blue avians as being positive ETs that are helping us. And it might be true. I'm not going to say it's not true because it's beyond my thing to validate it. But then he starts saying the blue avians are part of the rock group. And, you know, at the time that he was coming out with that, I had checked with Carla Rucker, what do you think of this? And she said, no way, they wouldn't come that way. And I checked with Jim, her husband, and he said, no way. Now, Jim and Carla could be wrong, and that could be David and Corey Good could be right. And I don't really have to make a decision on it right at this moment. But at some point, a spaceship may land and say, get on board, we're here to save you. Now I got to make a decision. So it's good to study this stuff just in case, because thus far, my experience is telling me not to get on that spaceship, and no matter how they're presented, it's not going to end up, I'm not going to end up going to some place I want to go to. And if David Wilcock should be one of the people that says get on the spaceship, I would really think a number of times about it. So there's a lot of research and paying attention, and I can't go into it all. We don't have enough time, but I have been studying this. Well, now I looked up Voyagers, and I have it open here to the pages, because she was talking about, and this book was written in 2002, she was talking about what's happening right now on our planet. She went, what would happen, okay? And I went to a chapter, it was called The Philadelphia Experiment Wormhole and the Phantom Matrix Pit, 1943. And as I was reading it, if anyone wants me to send them this, send me an email and I'll send you the whole chapter. But here's some of the stuff that I recall from that chapter, and then I will read towards the end of it, that basically ET's grays were connecting with everybody prior to World War II, and that the Japanese, there was the whole way World War II started was really a connection with the Greys. The Greys were connecting to the beginning to connect to our country. They were connected to Hitler. There's actually pictures of Hitler shaking hands with a Grey. And the Greys are trying to take over our planet with the reptilians. And that when we read in the raw material how they connect with the elite, this seemed to match that kind of profile. And but there's other ETs as well. Let me just read just a little bit of this. Compromise of the American Constitution had been orchestrated by Anunnaki Illuminati via manipulation of American banking laws in their quest for covert economic control during the late 1800s and the early 1900s. The American Constitution was further violated by the Zeta Draconian Agenda Illuminati in the 1930s with the creation of the privately held interests of the U.S. Federal Reserve and several other acts of underground sleight of hand. Now, when she says the U.S. Federal Reserve, for those of you who are not aware, the U.S. Federal Reserve is a private corporation that makes our money and controls our money. It is not owned by the government. As the Zeta Draconian Illuminati organization of MJ-12 was quietly expanded into what became the USCIA, the previously covert Anunnaki Illuminati control of the American political economic machine fell to the equally covert hostile takeover of the advancing Zeta Draconian Big Brother game plan, adopting the strategies of the Anunnaki Illuminati before them. The Zeta Draconian Illuminati created a complex underground system of black budget funding networks, including covert drug and arms running to fund building of underground Zeta Draconian bases and further the quest for covert Big Brother, wait a second here, territorial dominion. World War II began in 1939 as a Zeta Regalian Draconian Agenda force launched a covert territorial conquest and race supremacy genocide campaign through their Illuminati hybrid fall guy, Adolf Hitler. The political quest was covertly motivated by Stargate territory control, the Holy Grail quest for Earth's Templar, as it had been in World War I and all human wars since Atlantis. In World War I and World War II, all groups were covertly competing for territories that could be used for port interface networks connecting to the A7L3 Falcon wormhole. You know, in simple language, I've asked about this a long time ago, and I said, why do these guys want Earth? And apparently, Earth has a lot of portals. This is our sources answered very simply, that space travelers want. And I imagine they can move through a portal and get from one place to another really fast. So it's a very desired territory. And one of the reasons they didn't just come in and take us over, because they could have taken us over and killed it, is because the human DNA, the humans were playing an important part in grounding the energies for the ETs with their DNA. And sometimes we've talked about how there's certain techniques that people use to lift their vibration, but they don't go back to source. They go back to a negative source, and that the humans were playing some kind of important part. If you think I understand this, that's about as much as I can say, okay? And in World War II, select members of Japan's Illuminati elite were covertly inspired by a faction of the Neo-Chromitron Andromic race that at the time chose to compete with the Zeta Regalian Legion for port interface site dominion in various regions. Okay, So, simple interpretation, we have two ET races competing for control of portals in this realm. That's what she's saying. You know, you can see this is like science fiction. Worse, okay? I mean, and I'm not saying to believe it. I'm saying it fits with the raw material, saying that ETs, the Orions, connect with the elite to control planets. Okay, the USA and Japan became entangled with each other over an intended dominion of Ley Line 3 port interface site control. In 1940, the Neo-Kramitan Andromas began covert contact with their Illuminati hybrid family lines in the areas of Hawaii, Nagasaki, and Hiroshima, Japan. Nagasaki is a prime port interface site on the Falcon wormhole, Ley Line 3. The Necromitons inspired their members of the Japanese and Hawaiian Illuminati to begin construction of two underground marine bases in these regions. The Nagasaki Hawaii Necromiton bases would prevent the Zeta Draconian races from expanding their Falcon port interface network as they planned to do Earth's scheduled magnetic peak of August 12, 1943. Let me just try to simplify that. So basically, we have two different ET races. They're competing for portals, which she's calling a port interface site. And that when they access a portal, they get some kind of benefit from that. I'm still not clear about the benefit, but otherwise they wouldn't bother. And there was in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, there was a groups working to get control of the portals there, okay? And the Necromiton fallen angels would be left. Okay, wait a second here. The greatest objections of the Zeta Regalian, Draconians, in 1940 and 41 were reducing concentrations of angelic human magi and Necromiton Illuminati family ties inhabiting the Nagasaki-Hiroshima areas and thwarting Necromiton base building by having human government attentions scrutinize Hawaiian territories. The Necromiton fallen angelics would be left without their Illuminati surface workforce in Japan. Local angelic human planetary shields guardian races would be destroyed, and any covert Necromiton marine activities around Hawaii would be instantly detected and exposed should the Necromitons attempt to proceed. To solve their pending problem, the Zeta Reticulans launched a secret attack. The Zeta Reticulans directed their Illuminati family lines in Tokyo and other regions of Japan to launch a secret attack on Hawaii. Simultaneously, the Zeta Regalians warned the Illuminati key controllers in the USA that the attack was coming and that they should do nothing. On December 4, 1941, Japanese attacks Pearl Harbor was completed. The American Illuminati were then directed to enter territorial war, but to wait until the appropriate time to use the Zeta Regalian-inspired atomic bomb. Meanwhile, on August 12, 1943, the Zeta Regalians inspired the Illuminati within the Allied forces to orchestrate the infamous Philadelphia experiment during the Earth's stronger 20-year August 12th magnetic field cycle.
I want to insert something here.
Yeah.
In 1941, before the attack on Pearl Harbor, I can confirm that the government knew about that the attack was coming and the date. And my uncle's brother was the understudy to the ambassador of Japan, and he was on Thanksgiving Day before December 7th. My uncle's brother was with Roosevelt, and my aunt came for Thanksgiving and announced that Pearl Harbor was going to be bombed and that Roosevelt wouldn't do anything and wouldn't, and said he didn't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Roosevelt said that he wanted my uncle to go to the Philippines and send him to the Philippines. And after that, my uncle's brother didn't have anything to do with the family. He would just, if there was a funeral or something, he'd show up after it started and leave before it was over. And it's like he became incognito after that. But even I knew it was going to be attacked before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my own personal experience. And that Roosevelt wouldn't do anything.
So in any case, I'm giving you guys something mind-blowing here. I'm saying World War II was started by aliens, ETs, of different races competing with each other that were working through the elite of Japan and the United States to create intentionally Pearl Harbor and the nuclear bombs that went off in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And it had nothing to do with the reasons we were told, and that one group was trying to destroy another group that was creating portals in those areas. That's a simplified explanation. And what happens is people, when they start talking to these guys, it's awesome for them. They think they're special. And somehow they're manipulated into thinking they are doing good for us. Okay? Now, I asked a question to our sources yesterday, and I said, is this stuff, could you comment on the accuracy of this material, the one I was just reading? And they said, we would say it's, I think, what did they say, 80%, 90%, Terry?
No, they said on that particular subject, it was 80%.
80%.
Like,
yeah. The whole book, they didn't give that high a percentage. But on this particular session, it was 80%, okay?
Right.
And then we find out that in most of the wars, most of what's going on has been manipulated by ETs talking to the elite. And I got 4 minutes left, so I don't want to go into any of the details. Like I said, if any of you want me to send this little section from Voyagers, send me a request. Be sure and put Voyagers in the subject line, and I'll send it between today and tomorrow. But here's where it all comes home. All of these ET groups of dubious polarity are still talking to the elite. And that, in that little indication that I read right at the beginning, that communication, let me just read a little part of it again. from WikiLeaks, okay? John Podesta says the former NASA astronaut emailed Mr. Podesta with intent to set up a meeting where the two would discuss extraterrestrial disclosure and zero-point energy or free energy. So they're talking about ETs that they think are positive, that they're going to disclose to our planet. And, you know, oftentimes they say, beware of the future. Beware of ETs that land here. And beware of ETs that are endorsed by the government or by the Vatican, because there's this huge manipulation taking place behind the scenes. And I do believe these people who are endorsing it think it's positive. They have been taught by these ETs that it's important to reduce the population of the Earth 75%. So that the existing 25% can flourish. And that's one of the reasons that we have so many things which are potentially destructive to life being released on a worldwide basis, like chemtrails, like GMOs, and more, various crazy diseases that are introduced to us that look like they're new epidemics, like flu shots that make you worse instead of better. This is the agenda, because ETs are, I'm going to suggest, seems to me that ETs are in control of all this, and that there are internal groups in our government and in other governments that are being manipulated by these ETs, and they do not have a positive outcome in mind for the human race or for the people that are the elite. They're just using the elite to manifest this, making them feel special. They're going to be the ones to occupy the Earth, but then they'll be wiped out. So if somebody is elite that ever listens to this, read this book, Voyagers, and draw your own conclusions, because this is a very serious matter. And when you hear about ET Savius, when you hear about things like Ashtar Command, where people are channeling ETs and thinking they're ET emissaries, to the best of my discernment, it's all part of this agenda. And I've talked to some of those people, and they are so passionate in believing that it's a good thing and to prepare us for ET's landing. And I got to close this out. When I ask questions about this to our sources, aside from all the criminal activities, and if you haven't checked it out, I'm sorry, this is not political. This is real. The evidence for all the murders around Hillary and Bill when he was I started looking at that last night when he was governor of Arkansas. Of course, Whitewater giving deals to the Chinese for return for money, getting contributions. It's like it is the most amazingly corrupt thing you'll ever study, and you owe it to yourself to study it. This is not a political decision. And there's enough evidence to sink a ship that these things really happened.